Sometimes, evil can creep up on us.
It seems so unreal. It's like I want to wake up from this nightmare.
And sometimes, it hides in plain sight.
My head was full of people. Who could have been?
Fox, in here?
What could have happened to this poor woman?
What are his motives to do something like this?
It was obviously a very mysterious and tragic case.
In the early hours of April 17th, 2011, police are summoned to a typically quiet suburban Miami home.
What happened?
She's dead.
Inside, they find the homeowner face down, dead in a pool of blood, stabbed 7 times and almost decapitated.
Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
What happened in this house? And who took down one of the most respected members of the community? 13 years earlier, Roxana Palomino and her husband Percy are moving into their dream home in Miami with their 12-year-old daughter Carla and 6-year-old son Rodrigo.
Do you like your new room?
Yeah.
They immigrated from Peru just 5 years earlier.
Are you happy?
And money is tight.
It was very difficult at the beginning for a foreign family in a country as big and beautiful as the United States. When we first moved into our new home, it was the American dream, our dream of owning our own house.
This is for the house, for us, and for our beautiful children.
Cheers.
Cheers, Mommy.
Compré una botella de champán.
I bought champagne. I was very happy. We had sandwiches because we didn't have a lot of money, so it wasn't a fancy meal. I wanted to say, don't worry, you and I are going to make it.
The Palomino's dream home is in Kendall, a suburb of Miami with a large Latino population.
It's a very suburban community. It's a very tight-knit community where people feel safe.
It seems like the perfect place to raise a family.
I was very scared, but, you know, I felt comfortable knowing people that, you know, spoke the same language, and I was able to communicate with.
And Roxana makes sure the kids settle in.
My father was the worker, the provider. She was the one that, yeah, she worked too, but she would always follow up with our schools, you know, making sure everything was, you know, going good, like on top of us.
What are you doing watching TV? It's a beautiful day.
She was always, you know, a great person, somebody that, you know, never had any troubles of communication, you know, speaking with her daily, her giving me her advices, you know, she was a wonderful mother.
But Roxana is worried about money.
You know we'll get through it.
How can we get through it? Look at this. I think I'm gonna need to get another job.
I think we don't have to get jobs that we don't want. I think we can maybe find something that we like and do it together.
She had a lot of initiative. She wanted to learn more English. She wanted to make progress.
Roxana does make progress. She changes jobs often until she lands an ideal, stable position.
She got a job working for Taco Bell for about 12 years. She worked up to a senior management position.
The extra income allows Percy to pursue a dream he's always had, to run his own company.
I
started my own cleaning business. I called it Bright Floor International. Our goal was to improve our lives so our children would have everything they need.
Roxana and Percy helped their children follow their dreams, too.
I wanted to perfect my dancing, you know, and I started taking classes, and then it became more than a hobby. They were very supportive. My mother especially, you know, she saw the passion I had for dancing.
But when a professional dancing opportunity takes Carla to Los Angeles, Roxana finds it difficult to let go of her firstborn.
For me to take this drastic, you know, step and this opportunity, they supported, but yes, I know it was very hard for her to let me go. We communicated with each other every day. There wasn't any day that her and I would not talk.
Roxana and Percy visit Carla often over the next 4 years. On one visit, they arrive with a plan to coax Carla back home.
They had surprised me with a dance studio. You know, they opened up a dance studio for me, and they gave me more of a, you know, incentive to come and to have something. I wanted to stop my traveling and focus something home.
So in 2009, Carla moves back to Miami and her family to run her own salsa dance studio. The studio is a success, so much so that the Palominos need to expand. They add a banquet hall to help pay for the extra rent. And so just a year after starting the dance studio, the Salsamore Banquet Hall opens its doors.
Like any new business, the banquet hall was slow at the beginning. We started with one party a week, then we didn't have any parties, and we would look at each other worried. Then a better week.
All right, everyone. Tonight we treat our guests like royalty, all right? So nice attitudes, we smile.
My mother, you know, she liked the whole organizing events and things like that.
Now what I'd like you to do is put one of this like this right here.
She liked to take care of the banquet hall, and I was the one taking care of the dance studio.
As a result, Roxana had to quit Taco Bell, and she dedicated herself exclusively to the banquet hall.
She was the one doing all the hiring for the banquet hall.
My wife always expected punctuality. She was a perfectionist. She always had high standards.
The life story of this couple really was the American dream. I mean, here this couple was running a banquet hall and a dance studio, and they were really successful, and they lived in a really nice part of Miami.
While in Peru, Percy was an avid pool player. In Miami, he joins a league and plays every Tuesday. It's here that Percy meets 31-year-old Ray Rivero, originally from Cuba.
Lo comencé a tratar.
When I met him, he played for another team. And after some time, I was invited to play for that team too. Our friendship grew, and I wanted to support him, and I wanted to help him.
Kick your butt.
Well, go ahead now. Boss?
He was interesting because he was right-handed, but after injuring his right arm in an accident, he played left-handed.
Ray doesn't only have a bad arm, he also has a glass eye and a mysterious scar that runs down his neck.
13.
Ray tells Percy that he damaged his arm in a car accident, but he's reluctant to talk about the rest.
Oh, thank you very much.
I just lost the game.
That was a nice game. Thank you very much. Want a beer?
We never wanted to ask him about his past. We were only interested in his present situation. He told me he was a handyman.
I'll just go get change.
Okay. Thank you, man.
With his injuries, Ray is having a hard time finding a job. So Percy hires him to do work around the house.
My father, he's always been, you know, giving people chances. I know he was given that when he came to this country.
Do you see this window right there? I have a problem with the latch. It doesn't close properly. Can you fix that?
Sure, of course. Sure, I can fix it. No problem.
Yeah?
No problem.
Hey, I have a big roast beef.
After he finished the job, my wife would invite him to stay for lunch, depending on the time. We were always considerate. We both liked him.
He was a typical person, a regular guy. He was, yes, a little scary looking. I didn't judge him because of the way he looked.
Ray also does some odd jobs at the apartment Carla shares with her boyfriend, Chris Torrio.
He will help me paint the apartment and, you know, do any type of work, you know, electricity work, putting a lamp. We had spoken to him, you know, we're like, hey, you know, how was, you know, your past when you were in Cuba and, you know, how was? He's like, yeah, I've been to jail one time. But he's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't see myself going to jail again. It seemed to me that, you know, he wanted, you know, a second chance and, you know, move out from that life that he had to a better one.
Percy and Roxana begin offering Ray some maintenance work at the banquet hall as well. Ray gladly accepts.
He would do any small construction job very well, so I started giving him more hours.
Soon, Ray is a regular employee at Sol Zamora. Around that time in 2008, Roxana and Percy's son Rodrigo leaves Miami to study law at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. Roxana and Percy decide this is a good time to rent out their renovated garage, which has been transformed into an efficiency unit.
They were very, very careful who they rented the efficiency to. It was never a problem. It was, you know, an extra set of income for them to be able to pay, you know, the bills.
It doesn't take the Palominos long to find a tenant.
I put it up for rent and met a wonderful young man from Central America who was passing by and saw the sign.
29-year-old Alejandro Lopez is working and studying to be a chef.
He was about my son's age. Our relationship wasn't a close one. He didn't come into our house to visit, but we were very polite.
Muy cordial.
I will see him, and he introduced himself to me very briefly. He looked like, you know, a nice guy. Our house has very thin walls, so never was ever a problem. It was very quiet.
With a new tenant in the house and the banquet hall getting busier, Roxana can finally stop worrying about money. But when things in the house start to go missing, Roxana soon has bigger concerns.
Carla, have you seen my laptop? I left it there last night and it's not there today.
How can something be missing from the house?
He had a very close watch on the family.
Roxana and Percy Palomino have equal amounts of success and stress in their lives. They're running three businesses, supporting a son in college, and have a new tenant at home. So when Roxana's laptop goes missing from their house, tempers flare.
Carla, have you seen my laptop?
I was getting ready to leave. I was saying bye, and, you know, she's like, Carla, have you seen my laptop? I'm like, no, I haven't seen your laptop.
I left it there last night, and it's not there today.
I told Roxana, I thought it was Carla.
She's like, Carla, my laptop is missing. Where is it? You know, and then I'm like, are you sure you haven't left it at the banquet hall or anything?
But the computer is never found.
Then there was a second time where apparently her jewelry was missing from the house as well.
Honey?
She thought she might have misplaced it or something. We never actually thought, okay, somebody's breaking in, because there was no evidence or anything like that.
Did you see the gold bracelet that you gave me? You know, the one you bought where you bought the emerald in Colombia?
I never suspected anything.
We'll find it. Don't worry. We'll find it.
The Palominos blame the disappearances on their own carelessness.
We just had so many things going on with the banquet hall and things like that.
Even though they're very busy, Percy still sees Ray Rivero for their weekly pool game. But Ray starts acting strange.
What's up?
Okay.
It was a little aggressive, irrational. He was someone who didn't like to lose.
When
he lost the game, he would break his pool cue. And that's not all. He complained often. He would say, I haven't eaten, so I would help him with some money because I felt bad that he hadn't.
No, don't think about it. I mean, that's okay.
My father, he's very giving, you know. It's very hard for him to say no. You know, my mother used to tell him, you're too nice, you know, you're too nice. She was the strong one in that relationship.
Ray often seems reluctant to leave Salzamore after his shifts. Nobody in the Palomino family has ever seen Ray's home. Clearly, he'd rather be surrounded by co-workers and free food. Still, Ray is starting to get plenty of work. He's even taking on jobs for the owner of the mall that houses Salzamore.
The owner of the shopping center, he was very aware of the handiwork that he was able to do, and we'll ask him to do a few jobs, you know, in a few other units that were vacant at the time.
Early one morning, Carla and her boyfriend Chris stop at the banquet hall to fax something for Roxana. Something is off.
As soon as we open the door, he sees like a shadow in the back door closing. So then I walk into the office and I see a wallet and a phone. So to me, that was very strange. I was the last one to leave and I'm the first one to come in the next day. I opened up the wallet and it was Ray's wallet.
Carla is surprised. She didn't think that Ray had keys to the banquet hall. She runs into him outside.
Oh, yeah.
Ray, I just found this inside.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I forgot it.
He's like, I think I left my wallet or my phone here yesterday. And he was lying because I was the last one to leave and he was in here.
After Ray leaves, Carla suggests they check the hall's security cameras. The cables have all been disconnected.
There was no evidence, you know, to prove the fact that he was here.
Ray, could you please come down?
Later that day, Roxana confronts Ray. He angrily denies he was at Salzamore that night.
My mother was hardball with everyone. She said things as she sees them. You know, she was never ever disrespectful to anyone, but she was to the point.
It won't happen again.
Even though they have no real evidence of wrongdoing, Percy and Roxana decide not to book Ray on any more shifts. But one Friday night, a few weeks later, there's a big event booked. There are over 150 guests expected, and Roxana needs all the help she can get. Ray is called in. The party goes on into the early morning hours. After only a few hours of sleep, Roxana and Percy are exhausted, but they have to clean and prep the hall for another party that night. Percy also has a small cleaning job that morning. But he's done quickly. He arrives at the hall earlier than expected.
Rox? Honey! Rox? Rox? Rox! Ah! Oh! Jesus! What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing? I'm, you know, getting cleaning cloths.
We cleaned, put out the decorations, and got everything ready for the party.
Percy gets a call from Ray asking whether he needs him to work again that night.
I told him I didn't need him, that I needed him on Sunday because there was a religious gathering, and I needed him to set up tables and chairs.
logramos.
We worked until 6 or 6:30.
Entonces, cansados.
We were exhausted, so my wife said, "Go home, change, and I'll stay here."
Yo me quedo aquí.
So I went home, I changed, and I showered. I came back quickly because the party was from 8 to midnight.
When Percy returns to the hall, Roxana's best friend, Cecilia Ramos, is outside to pick Roxana up. The women are going to the store to pick up a few things, and then Roxana will come right back.
Go home and change.
The party started at 8, and my wife left.
Roxana has a quick dinner at the house.
Afterwards, she called me at around 9 o'clock that night. I told her to stay home. She was tired and she didn't need to come.
Roxana settles in for a quiet night alone. Or so she thinks.
Around 9:30, that was my last communication with her.
There was a massive amount of blood.
Roxana Palomino was spending a rare Saturday night at home alone, while her husband Percy tends to events at Sal Zamora. He'll be home soon.
I
stayed an extra hour trying to clean up because we had another event the following day.
Teníamos otro compromiso. Aproximadamente.
I got back home at around 1 in the morning.
When he enters the house, Percy notices that Roxana's chihuahuas don't greet him at the door.
I went in the house, and when I got to the kitchen, I noticed a lot of lights on.
Muchas luces.
Rox!
I went into our bedroom, and I noticed some strange things. The light was on, the nightstand had been moved, it was a mess. I thought, where is my wife?
Entonces me alarmé.
I started to worry. I left the bedroom and went past the bathroom, and I noticed the light was on in my son's bedroom.
Supuestamente no debía haber.
But there shouldn't have been anyone in there because my son was studying in Orlando.
Estaba la luz prendida.
Rox?
I tried to open the door and couldn't.
Rox?
Y no pude abrir la puerta.
When I couldn't open it, I got desperate and forced it open.
Lo logré.
Meanwhile, Carla is at work at a Miami nightclub.
I was very busy because I was in the VIP area serving a lot of people with bottles. So I remember it got to the point where it was a little hectic. I didn't even pay attention to my phone. I remember around 1:16, 1:20, I see my phone and I see 16 missed calls from my dad. I know his phone at times, you know, will dial, he puts it in his pocket and will dial by itself. So me, I was just thinking, okay, his phone.
Actually, Percy is desperate to reach his daughter after he makes a horrifying discovery.
Rox! Rox! Jesus Christ, Rox!
That's when I saw my wife on the floor, surrounded by blood. I had a nervous breakdown. I lifted her up. I was shocked and scared. I went to the bathroom desperate. My hands were covered with blood and I washed them.
Carla finally has a moment to check her phone.
Then I see, you know, two messages. He was crying, you know, just, you know, saying Spanish, you know, mi esposa, my wife. Just like, you know, his phone just went off and it was very brief.
When Carla finally speaks to her father, he's strangely calm.
Your mom's dead. Your mom.
He was very brief. He's like, oh, you know, your mom is dead. So many things came in my head. I didn't know what to think or expect. And I left the hall to go to my mom's house.
Percy then called Cecilia Ramos, Roxana's best friend. Cecilia's husband, Luis, answers.
Yep.
My wife. My wife's dead.
Did you call the police?
What? No.
Okay, I'll call 911. Just stay there. I'm on my way.
Ingresé nuevamente al cuarto.
I went back to the bedroom and lifted my wife up. Roxana, Roxana. She moved and her head fell back. Her throat had been sliced.
Y estaba degollada. Me desesperé.
I was desperate and went to the efficiency to knock on Alejandro's door.
Tocarle a Alejandro.
My wife! My wife!
Within minutes, the Miami-Dade police arrive on the scene.
What happened?
My wife, she's dead. My wife, she's dead.
All right, you stay with him. You follow me.
There was bloody footprints. There was a massive amount of blood. Ms. Palomino suffered several severe injuries to her body.
Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
I'm the tenant.
You live here? You stay right there, okay? Don't move. Seal it up.
The bloody crime scene is secured.
Take him to the car.
Both Percy and Alejandro are put into cruisers to await further questioning.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Carla races from the club in Miami to Kendall. She calls her brother in Orlando.
Rodrigo, it's Carla, please, you're not picking up your phone. I need you to call me back. Something happened, I don't know, it's mom.
Carla also can't reach her father.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I got home and the cops, the ambulance, everybody was there already. I just started like breaking down when I saw my father. You know, he was inside the cop car and they wouldn't tell me anything. No answers. I questioned. They wouldn't tell me anything.
I'm sorry. I can't let you in. It's a crime scene right now. So I suggest you just all go wait by the car. I'll be there shortly.
But then I was pulled aside by the detective and, you know, he, first thing he said, you know, your mom is dead.
Hey, Alejandro. And what woke you up? What did you hear? Did you hear someone trying to get in? Did you hear Mr. Palomino coming home? What was it?
I'm sleeping. I don't know.
It's such a vicious crime. The cops are surprised Alejandro didn't hear anything.
We're not finished yet.
They take him in for questioning. That just leaves Percy Palomino.
Just seeing my father, you know, I know he looked very paranoid, very and scared.
The husband is normally the first suspect in a situation like this, especially someone who's claiming that he just found her that way.
Estaba en shock.
I was in shock.
No lloraba.
I wasn't crying.
No reflejé.
I was numb.
Mi sentir.
And then I began to cry.
Comencé a llorar y vi que se acercaba un carro.
I saw a car coming and it was my son.
Vi a mi hija.
I saw my daughter in her car with her boyfriend, and that's when I began to feel terrible, terrible, terrible.
Me sentí mal, mal, mal.
They are desperate for answers, but Carla and her brother are not allowed to speak with their father nor enter the family home.
They took my father to question him to the detective's office. So then, yeah, we followed.
All they know for sure is that their mother is dead and someone killed her.
Any time that you have a wife who is brutally murdered and the husband finds the body, the detectives have to eliminate the husband as a suspect. And so they're obviously going to look at the husband and look at everyone else in the victim's life that could have been responsible for this.
You think, you know, you're the victim, so it's, you're like, what's going on? And I know a lot of people, you know, may think, but why didn't he call 911? Why did he have to wash his hands?
And what about their mysterious new tenant, Alejandro?
Was a suspect for me, obviously he was there.
It was a very mysterious and tragic case.
I was like, why, what are his motives, you know, to do something like this?
His story wasn't quite adding up.
police only have two potential suspects in the brutal murder of Roxana Palomino. Roxana's husband, Percy, says he came home and found her dead. Their tenant, Alejandro Lopez, claims to have been in his efficiency unit alone all evening.
I know he was a chef, so the fact that my mother got murdered, stabbed, you know, I had a lot of things going, you know, in my head.
The police question both men.
One more time. Exactly what happened?
Percy's bloody foot and fingerprints were found throughout the house.
Y esa fue la pregunta de la policía.
The cop asked me, why did you wash your hands? And I don't know why. A thousand things went on. The first thing I did was wash my hands to call my daughter and to call our close friend.
I must have washed them because I didn't want to scare anybody.
Percy last spoke with Roxana at 9:30 p.m. Then he finds her dead just after 1 a.m. To detectives, this seems like plenty of time to kill his wife.
Take a break for 5 minutes, okay?
He would pause the interview and say, go, leave the room and come back in 5 minutes. I would return 5 minutes later and would tell the same story.
Okay, Percy. Did you see anything unusual in the room when you found your wife?
The window was open. The window was usually always closed, but unlocked.
It was broken.
Anyone could open it from the inside or the outside because of the broken
lock.
Sure, I can fix it, no problem.
Alejandro is also being questioned.
Yeah, what woke you up? What did you hear?
He claims the only sound he heard was Percy arriving home.
He was there. He obviously heard, like, a struggle, what was going on in that room.
Later that Sunday, the detectives returned to the Palomino house. They want to do a sound test with Alejandro in his efficiency unit.
I'm going to give it a try now. Hello! Hello!
They conclude that Alejandro couldn't have heard much coming from inside the house.
Hear that?
Okay, come on up.
Both Percy and Alejandro are released.
Okay, Mr. Palomino, you're free to go. We'll be in touch.
The husband was ruled out not only because of his credibility and because of his, obviously he was distraught, the loss of his wife. Not only had he lost his wife, but he had actually discovered her in the home. So it was doubly traumatic for him.
My head was full of people. Who could have done this?
There was not a lot of information that the cops were revealing at the time, so there was just sort of this mystery about what happened, who's to blame, what could have happened to this poor woman.
The detectives continue to search the house thoroughly. There's one thing they know for sure. It had to be someone familiar with the Palominos' comings and goings that Saturday night. As word of Roxana's murder spreads among the Palomino employees, Ray reaches out to Percy.
Hey, Papi. It's Ray.
Él me llamó y me dijo,
he called me and said, I heard your wife has been murdered.
¿Quién pudo?
Who could have done it?
Haber hecho eso?
And I said, I don't know.
Y le dije, bueno, no lo sé.
There's an event at the hall that night. Percy doesn't cancel it.
And I told him, I need your help. We have a church gathering.
No, I can't.
Okay. Well.
Assuming Ray is too distraught to work, Percy doesn't push.
I told him, I'll come and I'll help you. We don't need right now anybody. You know, right now, everyone is a suspect.
Meanwhile, the detectives begin canvassing the neighborhood.
They handle it in sort of the business-like, methodical type of investigation. They've seen these types of murders before, but I think this was one that they desperately wanted to solve because of the brutal nature in this suburban community.
By Monday, the detectives turn their attention to the employees at Sal Zamor.
The detective, the next day after the follow-up, you know, they came and they asked me everybody's name that worked here at the hall or who was here working the day before.
How many employees do you have working for you?
We have four. Four employees.
You trust them all?
Yeah.
And they quickly determined that of all the employees that worked at the banquet hall, only one hadn't shown up that night.
What about Ray Rivero? What do you know about him?
The detective had spoken to every worker here but him, because they didn't know, you know, where he was at the time. We didn't know either because, you know, throughout that time, we lost contact with him.
Ray isn't answering his cell phone, and without a permanent address, detectives can't locate him. On Wednesday, Ray Rivero misses another shift of the Sal Zamor.
Every time he would call from a different number, so every time we would try to call that number back, it wouldn't work.
He didn't come on Sunday, he didn't come on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And because of his absence, I started to suspect his guilt.
He was extremely dependent upon the family. He didn't have his own means of income. The fact that he didn't show up, being that he was so dependent, was highly out of the ordinary. So the investigation quickly turned to him.
Carla tells detectives about the pool league, and she also gives them the name of one of Ray's friends. That afternoon, they track down 24-year-old Yerandi Morphy.
Excuse me, sir. Can I have a word with you?
He tells the police he last saw Ray 2 weeks earlier when he dropped him off at the Jackson Memorial Hospital Crisis Center, a mental health center in Miami. This was the last place the police expected to find him. But they're turned away.
Oh, come on. It's kind of important. Okay.
They leave frustrated. Please. Percy is equally surprised to hear that Ray is at a mental hospital and that Ray calls him Thursday morning, 5 days after the murder.
He called me while he was at the hospital to justify his absence at the banquet hall.
No, no, don't bother. Okay. See you later.
I immediately called the police.
Percy tells the officers that Ray says he's being released on Friday, then he'll come straight to work. While they wait to pick him up, the detectives follow another lead. Yerandi Morphy had also told them about another friend of Ray's, Dennis Canashiro.
Excuse me, do you know Ray Rivero?
Yeah, I know Ray.
When was the last time you saw him?
Here at the casino on Sunday night.
And Dennis drops a bombshell. Ray is addicted to gambling. On Sunday night, when Dennis last saw him, Ray was obviously drunk and had a large cut on his face.
Notice anything unusual about him that night?
Yeah. No, Miss Palomino.
Ray told Dennis that Roxana Palomino had been murdered, then asked to borrow his cell phone.
Check my money, maybe.
When he returned, he says he was speaking with Percy.
When they determined where he was that night, that he was out gambling, that he had some injuries to his face, and that his story wasn't quite adding up, the detectives quickly pursued him.
They decided to surprise Ray at the hospital. Little did they know they're in for a few surprises themselves.
I wasn't suspicious. I was in shock.
Seems so unreal. It's like I want to wake up from this nightmare.
Roxana Palomino was found murdered in her suburban Miami home late one Saturday night in April 2011. After eliminating two other suspects, the cops' full attention is now on her part-time employee, Ray Rivero. They find Ray at the Jackson Memorial Hospital Crisis Center. It's not the first time that he's been there.
I had no idea that, you know, he will go and say that he was mentally ill to be treated at the Jackson.
He checked himself into a mental health facilities on numerous occasions, but his friends indicated that he often did that not because he was mentally ill, but because he needed simply a place to stay for the night and some food.
Detectives arrive early Friday morning and lay in wait for Ray's release. Just after 10 a.m., they see him sneaking out a side door.
Hey, Ray, how you doing? Miami Homicide? I was wondering if you could come down to the station and answer a few questions. Shouldn't take long.
Yes, of course.
Good. Okay. This way.
You worked at Sal's Amore Banquet Hall last weekend?
Yeah, I worked there last Friday and Saturday.
Oh, so you worked Saturday?
Yeah.
Although police already know that Ray wasn't scheduled that Saturday night, Ray tells a different story.
What time did you get out of there at?
About 7.
Where'd you go?
Ray claims he walks around for a while downtown and then sleeps at the Dadeland South train station. The next day, he heads back to Salzamore to work. While on the bus, he says he notices he has a message from the bartender there.
Then I got this message from Alexis telling me what happened to Mrs. Palomino. So I just changed bus and went to the casino.
Why'd you go to the casino?
Well, because I thought, you know, there was no point in going to the hall. Nothing would be going on, so.
Ray says he called Percy when he got the casino to give him his condolences and say he wouldn't be in to work that night, which fits Percy's account.
Yeah, Percy.
And Ray's retelling of his time spent on Sunday night at the casino pretty much fits the story given by his friend Dennis.
I'm sorry.
So far, detectives have nothing that links him to the murder.
After they had finished the initial part of the interview after several hours, just as they were about to take a break, one of the detectives asked,
what were you wearing that night?
Oh, well, when I left Percy's house, I was wearing a black shirt.
When you left Percy's house?
Mentioning Percy's house is a crucial mistake.
Because just that I call all the area around the hall Percy's house. That's just my way.
And a simple misstatement by Mr. Rivero resulted in the detectives getting a great degree of leverage over him in the interview.
You said that you were everywhere else but at Percy's house. You told me you're not at Percy's house. And all of a sudden you said to me that you were at Percy's house. I mean,
well, if I was, I don't remember.
Right. You mean to tell me that you don't remember whether you were at the victim's house the night a victim was murdered, but you remember every bus and what the numbers were and exactly what you did after that? Are you seriously telling me that, Ray?
Ray starts to talk. He tells them that he did go to the Palomino's house that night between 7:30 and 8 to borrow money from Percy.
I went there, but you know, I knock on the door, no one was there, so I just left.
You left?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to these facilities I know, and, you know, just to take a shower and clean and go to the toilet.
Okay. And where'd you get the mark on your face?
Mr. Rivero attempted to explain away some of the injuries that he had. He said that when he actually went to an efficiency to get a shower that night, that he actually had stumbled in and bumped his head on a carport. And that was simply not the truth, and the detectives knew it wasn't.
Hey, you're a nice guy, okay? I want to help you here. But you're not making it any easier on me. I gotta tell you what we got. We've got DNA. We've got a bloody footprint. We have got fingerprints. Now, they're all at the lab right now, and they're doing the tests, and you know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna bet you that they're gonna come back, and they're all gonna point at you. So,
entré por la ventana porque la ventana siempre está abierta. Yo lo sé, yo la reparo.
Then Ray gives them another version of events.
He had actually entered the home through a window that he knew was broken. He knew it was broken because he had worked as a handyman for the family in the past. He had simply went into the house to get some money for gambling, and he had actually found Miss Palomino dead already.
Ay, madre mía.
But he thought that no one would believe him if he called and told anyone, so he just fled the scene.
Enough! I need to know what happened. What really happened?
Detectives are starting to think they know exactly how things went down that night.
As a banquet hall employee, he knew they had an event last night, so that was the perfect opportunity for him to commit a burglary and have no one in the family ever be a witness. So this may have very well resulted from the fact that he didn't anticipate that Mrs. Palomino would actually go home early and that she would be in the home at the exact same time that he was going to commit his burglary.
What happened, Ray?
She hit me with a lamp, okay?
Finally, Ray cracks.
Wasn't supposed to kill her. I wasn't supposed to kill anybody.
He confesses that he went to the Palomino's house Saturday evening, figuring both Roxana and Percy are at the banquet hall. He knows the window doesn't lock.
Sure, I can fix it, no problem.
While he was walking around the house looking for whatever he could take, he heard a noise. He hid, and then he heard a noise, and he thought the noise was somebody leaving.
He had startled her. She had fled into a bedroom that he had had to exit through to flee the residence, and a struggle had resulted. She had armed herself.
One of the two participants had a knife. I don't know whether he grabbed the knife or whether she had the knife. And unfortunately, Mrs. Palomino ended up dead.
Even at that point, he tried to allude that he didn't intend to kill her, that it was really a struggle that he had engaged in trying to escape from the residence. But that wasn't corroborated by the forensics at the crime scene.
Okay, Ray, this is the confession that you wrote out for us. It's been typed out. I just need you to verify that this is...
Even though they have a confession, police are determined to find the piece of the puzzle that will definitively tie him to the murder before they charge him.
And I remember detectives came, he's like, we're very close. We have someone. They didn't want to say exactly who. So they went to Unit 15 and they found his clothes with, you know, my mom's blood, everything in there.
Wait a minute, I think I got something. Oh yeah.
The Palomino family is at Sol's Amour when the police find Ray's blood-soaked clothing in an empty unit just yards away.
It was horrible. I remember there, you know, my brother, you know, my father and I, we just started hugging and crying. It was not a relief, but it was at least a closure that we had, that we didn't have to continue in. Who could have done this? 5 days after, you know, we were able to find out who the killer was.
Cuando supimos.
When we found out he was the murderer, we were all so upset. We felt very guilty. I made the mistake of bringing him here to help me, and I made the mistake of taking him into my home to work.
We all felt very, very betrayed, especially the way we were all with him, you know, giving him work, feeding him, things like that. You know, it was very hard to accept. I think he killed her because he didn't want people to find out, you know, who did it. Why didn't he just hit her or knock her out and go? That's it, never being seen again. But to go this far and murder her the way he did, in that way, I don't think any right person in the right mind can get a knife and stab somebody 7 times.
I was his friend, and I feel betrayed.
Ray has deceived the family in more ways than one.
The family actually was completely unaware that Mr. Rivero had actually been stealing from them for many years prior to the murder. It wasn't until he revealed that during the course of his interview with police that he had in fact had been using that broken window to steal from the family to support his gambling habit.
And the mystery behind Ray's past injuries is also revealed.
The glass eye and the scar was a result of him attempting to commit suicide. After his arm was paralyzed, he began to feel worthless, began to think his life was over. He was having a hard time finding jobs, and he just tried to kill himself one night, and the gun slipped, and instead of, it was underneath his chin, it went up this way instead of going straight up, and it came out up here.
I think that's one of the tragedies of this whole story, was this is someone that really was was being helped by this family and ultimately betrayed them, betrayed that trust and betrayed that compassion that they showed upon him.
It's very difficult nowadays to even trust anyone.
On May 17th, 2011, exactly a month after Roxana Palomino's death, Ray Rivero pleads guilty to second-degree murder and burglary with battery.
When he pleaded guilty, we were all in the courtroom, and then, you know, we had a few words to say to Ray. And the first thing I said, oh, how can you betray us in this way by just taking the biggest and the most amazing possession that we have? If I was able to give anything, you know, just to see her one more time, I would. I miss her, but I know deep down, you know, she's with us.
What do I miss most about my wife? Her presence, her affection, her love, her kisses, everything.